Acts chapter 20, we're going to read verses 17 through 38. If you're with us this morning, we honed in on the few verses where Paul specifically exhorts the elders there from the church in Ephesus. Now, the surrounding passage before and after that, Paul gives this a very interesting description of his own ministry among the Ephesians, but also reflecting his general ministry broadly. And as we talked this morning about the role of God's people, elders within God's people caring for the church, now we can get a picture of Paul's ministry, especially focusing on the ministry of the word to the church. And so it encourages us tonight. Well, let's first read God's word, 17 through 38 of Acts 20. Now from Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of you all, of all of you. For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, and being sorrowful most of all, because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." May God bless his word to us tonight. So here we get this powerful window into Paul's ministry among one church that really reflects his ministry among all the churches that he ministered to in his lifetime. It's a great glimpse of his work. But what does it have to do with us? How does this help us? Well, I think it's important in a couple of different ways. One is it gives us really the focal role that the church is to have in the preaching and teaching of God's Word. So it helps us understand what preachers and teachers of God's Word are to be about, what that looks like. It helps the congregation of God's people know how they can support and encourage that work. It also helps us in general know what it is that God uses to grow his church. I mean, who of us don't want to see the church grow? We want to see the church grow and mature. How will that happen? What does God use to bring forth such growth? You probably want similar growth in your own life, right? You want to see your own faith mature and grow strong. Well, what does God use to do that? A lot of people like to tout the secret of growth success in the church or in our personal lives. Well, what does God actually say that he uses? Well, here you get a window into a very fruitful ministry. God using what he promises to use. What does that look like? Because it's the same kind of thing he will use in our lives today. And hopefully in the midst of it, we also get this powerful picture of Jesus. What we have here is Paul following in the footsteps of Jesus. Paul connected to Jesus, living out the very same things that Jesus himself lived out. So as we see his ministry, we get a window on the love of Christ for us. So with those reasons in mind and excitement in mind, let's dive in and see what God has with a ministry of the Word, a ministry of the Word. So what is that ministry of the Word in the church to be about? Well, we'll mention a couple things. I actually borrowed this outline from someone else. Seminary professor Dennis Johnson had a really great way to break up this text, so I've just used his outline. And here's where we'll begin, that the ministry of the Word in the church is to proclaim, first of all, a complete message. A complete message. First thing we can notice is just how often, as Paul reflects on his care for the Ephesians, how often he speaks about preaching and teaching in a variety of different ways and terms. So you see it starting off with verse 20, for example. He says, "But I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching in public and house to house." Verse 21, he speaks of his testifying to Jews and Greeks. Then you go to the end of verse 25 again, or 24. Again, he speaks about his testifying to the gospel of God's grace. You go to the end of 25, and there he talks about proclaiming the kingdom. Go to 27, and there he speaks about him declaring the whole counsel of God. Or verse 31, there he talks about how day and night he didn't cease to admonish everyone. So you have a total of 15 verses in this section we read. And Paul, in that 15 verses, talks about his preaching and teaching 7 different times using 5 different words. He talks about his work of declaring, testifying, teaching, proclaiming, admonishing. And you get this picture then of the focus of his ministry, what he really wants to highlight to them, that what he really poured himself into was the teaching and preaching, the proclaiming of God's word, the gospel of Jesus. Again, you can see a window here into Jesus himself. See how this reflects Jesus' own ministry priorities when he was on this earth. As you read through the Gospels, what does Jesus spend most of his time doing? Isn't it proclaiming the kingdom of God? Teaching and preaching the good news of the gospel? And you have Jesus again and again for those 3 years, declaring, teaching, proclaiming, admonishing. He does it even using miracles as opportunities to show it forth. The miracles, which often capture our attention, are more often than not used by Jesus as an opportunity to both highlight and really confirm his teaching. And so he feeds the 5,000 and immediately begins to teach about the bread of life. He raises Lazarus from the dead and then wants to talk about himself as the resurrection and the life. You see in Paul a picture of the priorities of Jesus as he ministers. And therefore, that helps us to think what the church of Christ is to be about today, the church that Jesus founded and that's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What is the church to be about? Well, it's to have a primary focus on the proclamation of God's word. And God even raising up individuals. We talked this morning about within that group of elders, you have a group that focuses on rule, but you have another group that focuses their ministry, Paul says, 1 Timothy 5, on preaching and teaching. God gives a whole group of leaders this task. That's where they're going to focus their ministry, on preaching and teaching, which sometimes is different than how pastoral ministry can be talked about in the world today. There's a lot of blogs and podcasts you can get to how to be the most effective pastor, how to be the best church leader. And a lot of them tend to focus on things about like being the visionary, being the CEO and the skillful administrator of a well-tuned organization. Well, not that Paul would necessarily discount administration or say that there's no vision that's involved, but he, as he focuses in on his own ministry, he wants to highlight really wanting to give attention to the proclamation of God's word. And so there's to be our focus in the church today, and even seeing and trying to support and pray for the ministry of the church. And that ministry is a complete message, a complete message. Notice how he even repeats that idea that there's one thing he doesn't hesitate or shrink back from. He uses that language of shrink back twice. It shows up in verse 20. He says, how I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Then he uses that same language in verse 27. For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So Paul wants to communicate. There's something he didn't hesitate to do. There's something he wasn't fearful about or drawing back from. That was, he didn't draw back or hesitate from teaching anything that was profitable, anything they needed to hear. He describes it, verse 27, as the whole counsel, the whole will of God revealed in Scripture. All that God teaches about who He is and what He's done. All that God teaches about what His people are to do in response to His salvation. And there's what the ministry of the church is to be about. Not shrinking back from proclaiming everything that God has meant to be revealed. Everything that He shows in His Word is profitable and critical for His people. And even that language of, I did not shrink back, gives us a real clue about how we need to think and even to pray for the ministry of the Word in the church. What's the real trick or the real temptation in preaching and teaching? It's to shrink back. It's to be afraid of teaching this or proclaiming that, because there are things that you can proclaim in every day and age that, well, people don't want to hear. Things that might be profitable according to God's word, but they step on people's toes or make others feel uncomfortable, or it's not the best way to get first-time visitors to come back for a second visit. And so to proclaim everything that is profitable takes, Paul says, a kind of fearlessness, a kind of boldness. And so there's a good thing that we need to have as a church, a commitment to boldness with God's word. That's something that all of us can have in different ways as we interact with God's word. Maybe God has you in a role of teaching Sunday school, or even just encouraging a Christian friend or an unbeliever with God's word. Well, that takes a kind of boldness to even say the hard things. Now, well, of course, we'll say in a minute how Paul does his ministry of the word in a loving way. So we're not talking about being obnoxious, but it's being willing to say things that are unpopular, which gives us a good way that God's people can pray for those who are called to that ministry of preaching, teaching in a formal way. Here's how you can pray for me. Pray that I wouldn't shrink back from saying anything that's profitable. That I wouldn't be fearful to say, to teach the whole counsel of God, even though it might seem at a certain time to be unpopular. That the whole counsel of God, everything profitable, would go forth from pulpits across the land. So, a commitment to a preaching, teaching ministry that teaches the whole complete message. Well, the church is also to have a ministry of the word that preaches with committed consistency. So we have a complete message, and then we have committed consistency. Notice how Paul not only focuses on one task, but does it broadly in a variety of ways and settings. Verse 20 and 21, he says, he didn't shrink back from declaring anything profitable, teaching to you in public and from house to house, testifying to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul, he's taking this complete message, but it's going forth in a variety of different ways and settings. He's preaching publicly. We know that from his ministry in Ephesus, from the book of Acts, that he spends time in the synagogues. And then when he has to leave the synagogues, he gets another public arena, the lecture hall of Tyrannus, where he can proclaim God's word day after day. And we also know that he says here he also proclaims privately, house to house, or at least in smaller settings. Right? He proclaims publicly and he teaches privately. You get the idea. Wherever there's opportunity, in settings big and in settings small, he's going to send forth the word. Again, you see the pattern of Jesus here, don't you? Isn't that Jesus' own ministry priority? Sometimes you find him proclaiming to huge crowd, the Sermon on the Mount, all these disciples who gather, all these followers who gather as he goes up the mount. Or you have Jesus just spending time around the dinner table with his disciples, or just alone with Peter, James, and John. Here is Jesus publicly and in small groups proclaiming God's word. And again, there should be our priorities in the church today. Having a ministry that's a committed consistency. There's going to be, yes, a public preaching ministry. We can pray for that. Sunday school, sermons on Sunday. But that can't be everything. You can certainly pray for the leaders of the church as we minister in people's homes and meet with people. But there's also opportunity where God's people get involved in that ministry of the word. God gives you opportunities to share an encouraging verse of scripture with someone in need, with a friend going through a hard time, with a child, a grandchild, a friend. You can visit and you can encourage, you can write a note and have that kind of consistency that takes whatever settings possible and communicate God's word because God uses it. So we have a complete message, a committed consistency. We also see a compassionate motive. A compassionate motive. You really see the heart of Paul. He's not just giving his missionary job description. He's really revealing his heart, isn't he? Where he's revealing what drives him. It's a reminder to us that this call within the church is not just we got to do our duty, but something's really to grip our heart. Can you see what Paul's motives are here? Well, maybe first you see what his motive isn't. It's not about service to self. It's not about service to self. It comes out, for example, in verses 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. He's committed not to serving himself. Verse 33 and 34. He says, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own necessities and those who were with me, right? He's committed. It's not about me. I'm not in this to serve me. He even demonstrated that in a very tangible way for them, that for a time he ministered among them. He supported himself. He wouldn't take their money. He made tents so that he could preach God's word, support his own ministry and his fellow missionaries. It wasn't about Paul. It wasn't about self. Of course, there's nothing more destructive, whether it's a pastor or just a people in the pews sharing God's word. There's nothing more destructive than doing it for self, loving to teach because it's all eyes on us, or loving to have that message because it can make you look popular. And so, again, here we have a reminder to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. In fact, it almost sounds like Paul is echoing his own assessment of Jesus. Did you catch something that sounds familiar? At least it does in my ears. In verse 24, as Paul says, but I do not account my life of any value or as precious to myself. That makes me think about how Paul talks about Jesus. in Philippians 2, where he talks about Jesus, who was in the form of God, but didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Right? There's our model. There's the one we're connected to. It's Jesus who came to this earth to minister and serve it, but didn't come to be served, but to serve. And that's our model. Not about self. So what is it about? Well, you see, Paul motivated by, for one, a love for people. A love for people. Do you see Paul's loving heart coming out? For example, verse 18, he talks about, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears. He speaks about his ministry there. How about verse 31 as another example? Be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. Right? A ministry, he says, as I came to you, I came tearfully. That this meant something. Not only the ministry, but the people. He wanted to encourage them. He wanted to admonish them and guard them and build them up. Again, it reminds you of Jesus. Think of Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem. Or Jesus seeing the crowds follow him to the other side of the lake after a long day of ministry. And seeing that they're like sheep without a shepherd. He has compassion on them. Here's Paul like Jesus, driven by a great love for the people that are in front of him. There's to be our heart. Why do we engage and focus in on a ministry of the word? Well, because we know that's what builds people up. That's what blesses them. That's what I need. That's what you need. That's what the lost need. And so we focus on it and we're committed to it. And we do it with that kind of love and tenderness and compassion. But also a love for the Lord. Verse 24 is a helpful thing as he talks about not doing it on account of his own life, but he says, here's my hope. If only I may finish my course and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus. In other words, I'm not motivated by a desire for self, but I want to finish the job God gave to me. I want to finish the job God gave to me. See, his heart is wrapped up in God's glory and God's call upon his life. He wants to honor his Savior. So you put the pieces together. Well, what do we have here? What does this have to do with us? Well, we're ministering in the church that's built on this foundation, the foundation of Jesus, a ministry that's all at its core about proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And that's done sometimes in very formal ways with very official people that are gifted. Here's how we can pray for pastor, teachers, but also even as individuals in Sunday school classes, in family devotions, in encouraging notes to fellow Christians. We can communicate God's word with confidence and excitement because this is what God uses. This is what he blesses. This is what he uses to build him up. So whether you're doing it publicly, or whether you have something that's more like a house-to-house private encouragement or anything in between, we can point people to Jesus and use what works and what really builds the church up. And ultimately, in the midst of it, we get a picture of Jesus, who's the ultimate pastor-teacher. Do you see God's own love for you here? That here is this picture of the chief shepherd who cares for his flock. Here's this picture of Jesus who loves you so much that he tells you not exactly what you want to hear all the time, but he tells you exactly what you need. That Jesus himself doesn't hold back from communicating to you everything that you need to build you up. That here's Jesus, the one who in the process humbled himself to the lowest place to be obedient to the call that the Father had on his life. And there's your hope. There's your rescue. You have that kind of shepherd, that kind of pastor teacher for you. Seeing the amazing love of Christ, you seek to minister that in his name to the people God has put in your path. A ministry of the word even today. God uses it. We see Jesus there. and we trust it to him to bear fruit. Let's pray. Father, we do pray for your encouraging work in the church and through the church in our day. Lord, our hope can't be in ourselves, but your truth and your gospel is mighty. Strengthen, Lord, each of us as those who can communicate God's word. Strengthen those you've especially called to have a special ministry of preaching and teaching. Know that, Lord, in your church around the world, your pure gospel might be preached with love for people and a great desire to fulfill your call upon your church. We do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close as singing a prayer to Jesus for the church. 348. 348.